Good morning, Eddie. Happy Thursday.
Annie, happy Thursday. I am happy to talk to you this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I have allergies. So I woke up just thinking, hey, do I have coronavirus? No, it's seasonal allergies. So that was a nice wake up.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, my head just sniffled on the microphone. Sorry.
No, terrible. That's fine. You can go back and be the person you wish you was and not wish you was. You wish you were and not sniff.
It is a funny thing. People have started to mention, then go back and be the person you wish you were. The number of times I could use it in actual life makes me realize, am I ever actually the person I wish I was? Or am I just...
Am I always the second version of myself?
Am I always wishing I had said a different thing? The number of times now that it's in my consciousness. But anyhow, it's nice to talk to you this morning. How are you today?
Can we start with a serious 7 minutes?
Because I actually would like to, yeah.
Okay. I woke up. I'm just not in a great mood. Because I went to bed like... I did such a good job yesterday of like, and I've done a good job most days of like doing my life, like going to work and going and exercising. And yesterday I went and, because I can leave my house, I went and sat 6 feet from two of my friends and we ate dinner together outside until it was too cold to sit outside anymore. And then I came home and got in bed and I opened Twitter and read these tweets from nurses and doctors in New York and what they're going through. And it spun me out, man. Like, like this thing's, I know this thing's terrible. I know this thing's terrible. But then you go like, Eddie, how do we balance keeping our own emotional health, but not being, what's that animal that puts its head in the sand? An ostrich.
Ostrich. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we, cause my inclination is to be an ostrich. That is not helpful. But also, is it helpful for me to know how this virus is doing on every corner of the planet? I don't know the answer. I just know that for the first time in 15 days since this started for me, I didn't put real clothes on this morning. I still have on my pajamas. Every other day, I've been able to put real clothes on except today.
Yeah. There's half of me that wants to start like giving, like just talking and giving like, here's some thoughtful things and things to think about and here's to validate your feelings. But then at the same time, the more truthful version of me right now is like, yeah, this is a very, I am keenly aware of it. And yesterday it hit and it's weird that it hit for us at the same time. But I feel you. Like a lot of this whole coronavirus is practically for a lot of us listening that aren't in the medical profession, it's like Zoom calls are crazy. And do I have enough toilet paper? And it's like, it's sort of like,
and like, wow, I'm lonely. And then these nurses are working 17 hours. I mean, both are true. Let me be the person I wish I was. It is very lonely. I've been incredibly lonely. It has been the loneliest thing I've ever been through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, these nurses and doctors are experiencing things that, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be careful to protect friendships, but you know, we have really good friends that are doctors and nurses. And
quit bragging. Name drop. Our friends are rich. Really. We get it.
What's wrong with you? and they, you know, they're giving us here's what's really happening. And these aren't people that are doomsdayers. In fact, they're the complete opposite. They are the people who very often I'm like, wow, they're letting their kids stay up way later than ours. And they're just way loose and chill. And they're ringing the bell pretty hard going like, we have 2 days of masks left. Everybody who, and this may be just our area. So I don't want to be like, this is the national story, but for where we are, every medical professional of any kind, every dermatologist is being called in, trained, and taught how to be a coronavirus doctor. And because it's all hands on deck, and it's not all hands on deck based on worry, it's all hands on deck based on it's on actual math.
Yes.
And I will tell, I mean, just to, I'm hesitating because I feel like I'm just recounting my own like fear about it. And I don't know if it's helpful to not do that.
That's okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the other part for me that's weird is and scary is, you know, I'm talking to my colleagues from IJM all around the globe, and like it's very hard around the globe for people. And, you know, the work is continuing and people are generally in good spirits and very hopeful and da da da. But, you know, we have this time every day where we gather for prayer at 11 o'clock, and the prayer requests are more and more shifting to like, you know, my friend is really sick, and my other friend is really sick, and my, you know, family member is really sick. And we've added an extra half hour of prayer just because we need to be praying for actual people. And so it's, I feel you. It's a really scary thing. It's just scary is what I should have said. Yes, it's scary.
Everything that was fine.
How do you, what's the perspective? You asked me, how did you do the perspective? I don't know.
I got up and drank a bottle of water, and in a very like, here's one thing I can do that helps set my day right is drink a lot of water. It's very good for me. It's supposed to be 80 degrees today, and so I'm going to sit outside as much as I can. I am going to put on workout clothes versus staying in my pajamas. Mm-hmm. I am going to pray. I mean, that is what I did, is I got out of bed and I got my Bible and I just started reading, and I don't remember very much, but I do know I turned the pages a lot. And so I am just kind of... And praying for medical professionals and praying for grocery store people and praying for my friends who are still having to get out into the world. And it makes me want to stay home more than I wanted to stay home yesterday, because I don't want to get sick and I don't want anybody else to get sick. And I don't know. I don't know why it feels so heavy today, but it feels so like, and I don't know that this is helpful for people listening, but it just feels insurmountable to me today. And I don't get the option for it to be insurmountable, because I have to do this and I have to get on Insta Story and I have to read a kid's book at 6 p.m. And, you know, like I have to put on clothes.
Yes. But I will say, just to the part of the things that you need to do, I mean, I think the reason people actually... I don't know if you'll be comfortable with this. What does it matter? We're doing a half hour a day. I'm just going to say
That's right. This will be the bottom of the birdcage in 24 hours.
Yeah. I think that people like the things that you read and say and do on Instagram exactly because of this. You actually, knowing you personally, you actually aren't really a brand. You're just a person. You're just that person. Right. And that person happens to sometimes sit down and write what she's thinking about in a book, and sometimes on an Insta story. And so I feel like you are not tone deaf to the realities of the world. And I think that you know, we made the joke earlier, you made the joke earlier, like, oh, I want to be the person I wish I could be. As it pertains to this situation, I actually think we might be both people, like working super duper hard to try and put on some pants some days. And for me, you know, not have an extra drink in the evening because it turns down the noise, and not ignore things and da da da. But at the same time, also, I think sometimes I just am like, it just is scary. This is an unprecedented loss of life. This is an unprecedented global situation that we are in the midst of right now. And it is actually very bad, and people can doom and gloom it. And there are different models and projections. And I think it's wise for us to gather a bunch of information and make right down the middle decisions, not the, it's all going to be fine tomorrow and we're back at work by Easter, and not, you know, this is a conspiracy theory, half the planet, you know, science fiction-y kind of weird, right down the middle. The right down the middle opinion is this is very, very bad. And so I think there isn't an answer. I think it's both things. And I think it's, I just think it's okay for us to be bummed out about it this morning. Yeah. And okay for you to be sad, because it is very, very sad. And
it's so sad.
Doctors and nurses are going through like hell right now. I mean, it's...
I know. And what can we do? Like, do I ship them cookies? Do I send them... Like, I sent flowers to a handful of friends yesterday, just to say, like, we're going to be okay. And I use that in a very, I use that very genuinely of like, I don't know what happens to our businesses, because we have a bunch of small business owners in my friend group. And I don't know what happens to our businesses, and I don't know what happens to relationships. And But I know we're going to be okay. But I'm like, I don't know what to do for doctors and nurses. I don't know what to do for doctors and nurses.
Well, it seems, well, I don't either. But it seems as though today, this is the other weird thing. What can I do today is actually the question I feel like I'm having to ask myself with everything. What decisions are today decisions? Because I actually have no idea what tomorrow's going to be like. And that is a very strange reality. So today it seems like as I'm reading Twitter and, you know, we just had a friend reach out to us on Twitter and it seems like the need is for masks. And so today I'm trying to figure out, like, my goal for today is I do not know how to sew, but I know we have a sewing machine. Can we figure out how to cobble together a mask? Because that seems to be the need of today. And in a way, I'm trusting a little bit the global consensus on day to day of what's needed. It doesn't, and I'm sure flowers and cookies and everything are helpful. And so do that. But it seems like practically that's where the need is right now. What it'll be tomorrow, I don't know. But I do know that I have a responsibility because I cannot be a medical professional and I can't actually do much to help. I think that my responsibility is to keep listening and see if there's ways
that I can. I'm literally tweeting right now. Dear doctors and nurses, what can we do to help you?
Yeah.
Am I going to regret that? No, I think I just need to ask that and just take all the answers that I get.
Right. And there's going to be, and I think that for me, I have to realize I will not be able to respond to even the unsolicited tweets of like, hey, here's what we need. Here's what's up. I can't respond to it all, but I can, but doing nothing is a real not good, is not a good use of my day.
I can't do nothing today. That's how I feel. I can't do nothing today.
Yes.
I just can't do nothing today.
And I think maybe the solve for today only, right? I don't know what we'll check in again tomorrow for a half hour, but
good thing for us. We get to do this again tomorrow.
Maybe the solve, I'm coming to a conclusion, like it is a conclusion, but I don't know. But I'm like working this out in real time as I talk, because I'm clearly a very verbal processor. But I think the solve for me today is to try to do something that helps the external somehow. So, you know, ordering food from a small business seems to be a thing that people say is very helpful. So I will try to do that. Seeing if I can figure out some mask thing that seems to be helpful today. So I will try to do that. I don't know. How does that sit with you? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, today, yes, we did food. We ordered food last night. It's a very funny thing.
I know.
It's a very funny thing because I bought groceries, and in any other time in my life, like, I did a good job buying groceries before I went on quarantine. So I did a good job of it. I did what a budget person would have told me to do 2 weeks ago. And I feel guilty because I'm eating at home all the time because I bought and made food and froze it and stored it well so that I don't have to order in food. But then I feel this external pressure of help your local restaurants that you love so much.
Yeah.
But I also already spent money on beef bourguignon and I still have two servings left in my freezer, you know?
Yep.
So, but yes, the thing I feel the most drawn to, I like what you're saying. And I do think we should be supporting local businesses. And that's why I sent flowers yesterday, is because there's a florist here in Nashville who had $1,000 worth of wedding flowers that won't be used this weekend.
Right.
And so she's making bouquets and delivering them and using like a different mask every time she's like doing all, she's not wasting masks, but she says, I'm using clean masks, I'm using gloves, I'm being very careful.
Yeah.
And so she's delivering flowers. So I was like, well, that helps small business. But today I'm like, man, there's got to be something I can do for doctors and nurses at Vanderbilt that's right here that I just don't know I can do yet. So.
Yeah.
I'm asking. I have friends that have a baby in the cardiac ICU, or the baby needs a heart transplant at Vanderbilt. And so I may text them and just say, what can we do for the nurses on your floor? Like, suddenly as I'm verbally processing this with you, I'm realizing, like, what is it that I think maybe Jeff Henderson says this, or Andy Stanley, do for one what you wish you could do for all.
That's a great one.
So maybe I just text my friends and see what I can do for that one floor of cardiac nurses and doctors
yeah.
that I can't do for everyone at yeah. Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And the truth of it is that we sit in the reality that it will not be enough because this is so huge. This is so huge. But if we all actually did just chose to do a thing, it would be a groundswell of community support. I mean, we are kind of churning into what was I love these just reading American history and we're kind of moving into this era that feels a little like World War II when the Ford yeah. plant stopped making cars and they started making planes. And this was the era of like the Rosie the Riveter and basically, yeah. you know, people buying war bonds, you know, going through and just investing their money in the government in hopes that it would help the effort. And we're in that weird spot where collectively we are kind of steeling ourselves together to be like, what can we do? And we can all take a little tiny piece of it. So for those nurses in that cardiac care unit at Vanderbilt, that matters a huge amount. And it's torture for them yeah. right now. Like it's the hardest thing. It's just the work, but you can't actually do something. And so I like that. I think that there's something really valuable to that, and it won't make it all better, yeah. but I think it will help. I just think it's the right thing.
So far on Twitter, people have said that we need to stay home. That's how we help doctors stay healthy, yeah. but also that they need N95 masks. But like, it's not like I can order those on Amazon, right? And they're already out of those. Maybe I can.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody knows how we get N95 masks to doctors. And I don't know that there's an answer to that. I will also say about 10 minutes ago, you did say small business owners and I did not make the joke again. And it feels like that you didn't congratulate me and that hurt my feelings.
You didn't make a joke about small business owners?
Yeah, like they're regular sized people. I made that same joke like a week ago.
You know what?
It's the joke
you know
like
what?
Every
Thank
time
you.
Some...
Thank you for bringing that back around because you're right. That's funny when you do say that and when you don't say that. When you do say that, it's funny. When you don't say that, that shows growth. So congratulations on both.
I just wanted that acknowledged. We were right in the middle of a series talking.
What's another way to say
crazy?
people who own small businesses. Is that better?
Yeah, or say it that way and give me the joy every single time of pausing and interrupting you and saying, well, they're regular sized people. Give me that. This is being funny is the way
You're
I
right.
live.
You're right. That's right. The way we survive this.
Right.
And I'm glad you turned the corner because I really did want to bring up the topic I have moved from list to list to list the last 3 days. And that is how much I'm enjoying experimenting with tanning lotions. We haven't even talked about it.
Hold on. Can I pin something really quick?
Sure.
Wait,
of course.
Hold on. I have to tag on to the last part of the 7 to 18 minutes of serious talk.
Oh, we don't have to joke. We can just make this one serious. I can save tanning lotions for tomorrow.
No, I need to hear about that but I just want to say, like, I am grateful for you being honest about that because it would have been easier to do yuck yucks on the show the whole time. And it's not like yay, Annie, but I feel like we are all in this together. And the more honest we can be with each, you and I happen to have microphones in front of us and record it.
Right.
But in truth, these conversations that you and I are having are happening all the time, everywhere, in every house, with every friend group. And I think that there is a real currency to us being way, way more honest with each other now than maybe we ever have been and not putting up a front because we need to be what is most real in that moment for each other. And sometimes what's most real is making a joke and laughing about it and having a drink of wine and just the whole thing just going like, what is happening? And sometimes is letting each other be sad with each other. And yeah. I appreciate in a way the modeling of that. I also appreciate the fact that you have... I don't even know what tanning lotion is, but that you've experimented with multiple ones is like you in one sentence, I have enough questions to last me a day. So can you explain to me, one, why you're experimenting, and two, sure, why it would necessitate more than one to get it right?
Well, I shouldn't have used lotions plural purely because, but I do have multiples. Last summer, a friend of mine has really great tan all the time. And I said to her, how? And she said, I use instead of using normal lotion, I use lotion with some, like, it's literally Jergens Glow lotion. And she was like, I just use lotion that has a little bit of color in it. And I have just never had the extended amount of time alone with my legs that I've had these last 15 days.
No, I don't want to miss it so that people can tweet this. Slowly, quote, I have never had this much time alone with my legs.
Quote, it's true.
Annie F. Downs.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, that brought me joy.
And so I've just been really seeing how I feel. Because the thing is, Eddie, when you use tanning lotions, if you don't do your every inch of your skin, you see different shades of your skin. Does that make sense? Like, if I don't do my arms, but I do my legs, they are different colors.
Yes.
And I don't want to do that on a normal week when people see my arms and legs, because then it's like, well, why are your legs like that when your arms are like that? You know, why are your arms like two mozzarella sticks and two string cheeses and your legs are mozzarella sticks? That's the difference. My arms are string cheeses and my legs are mozzarella sticks.
Have you
And
chosen
I didn't ever
one...
want to have that in public. I wanted to have all mozzarella sticks or all string cheese. And now I'm string cheese and mozzarella sticks, but I am loving this lotion. It's beautiful.
So have you used like your legs as the, like your arms are the control variable and the legs are the manipulated variable?
Yes, exactly.
So you're comparing them. So they started out in the same way and you're now comparing them against each other to see if it's working.
Precisely.
100% smarter than I would have done, because I would have thought one leg gets it and one leg doesn't. But you.
Oh my gosh.
Are smart. And decided
you'd have gone leg versus instead of legs versus arms.
I just wasn't thinking about how to do it. I've never, first of all, I live in Florida. We're perpetually tanned. It's what all right. We actually joke when we're like, oh, you got your summer, your winter legs on, because we all turn a little white in the winter. But now I'm back in business. We're all tan. We all get too much sun.
You also are exercising outside a lot. In shorts, I'm guessing, until you get your new leggings and
extremely short
Chad
shorts.
Wears.
Yeah. Oh, that was a.
They thought the first part was the saddest.
That was an audible sound of. You couldn't even. What do I feel
when
rising
men
up?
When talk I'm, about short shorts, it's just always weird. It does not matter your body type, your age. Men talking about short shorts just causes a reaction like that in us.
I get all my shorts from it. I get all mine from a vintage 80s basketball store. And it's all
I wish it was a vintage 80s basketball store. I would buy a Spud Webb jersey immediately. I would love to have a Spud Webb Hawks jersey.
Oh, a Spud Webb Hawks jersey. That has to exist. Annie, you got to treat yourself. That has got to exist. And that
I've never owned a basketball jersey. I have a football one and, of course, soccer, but...
I've never owned a real jersey ever. I've always wanted one.
Really?
Isn't that a weird thing? It's like one of those like weird elusive. Which one would you get? You'd get a Spud Webb jersey?
Oh, 100%. I'd get, well, the two that I love the most were Spud Webb and Dominique Wilkins from the Hawks. But I would wear a Spud Webb jersey because I think that's the jersey that would lead to, this is such an Enneagram 7 answer. That's the jersey that would lead to the most conversations.
Funny. Hilarious. That's the one.
I think Spud Webb would be the one that would get. But I was also listening to a podcast yesterday about falling in love. And one of the things they said is women need to get themselves around the kind of men. Like, if you just stay home, which is we don't need to do. I'm going to be the person I wish I was. The Lord's going to work it all out. Right. If I had a Spud Webb jersey, I would enjoy the conversations that I would have with people who also knew who Spud Webb was.
Oh, I totally get that. like attracts like, and you would people would get the joke. People would like the sport. Yeah, that totally makes sense. That's why we wear that. When I wear my, you know, like, I don't know, whatever shirt from a podcast that I really like. Anybody who knows that shirt is going to be
from a podcast.
Yeah, the West Wing Weekly.
Oh yeah, of course you do. Of course,
it's like my very favorite podcast of all.
Yeah, you do. I know.
Yeah,
you do.
Even more than podcasts that I work really hard to make. I like that podcast.
I need to watch West Wing. I watched it some in college, but I've never watched it start to finish. I know.
You need. I'm not going to get too into this because. No, we got a lot to talk about. Go, please. I haven't ignored
you. No, I haven't ignored it on purpose. I just haven't started it. Is it on Netflix? Can I just start?
It is on Netflix. And I would strongly urge you, strongly, to watch one and then listen to an episode of the West Wing Weekly. Because this podcast is not only charming and funny and gives you fun behind the scenes looks at it, but also dives deep into the issues without being so deep that you get lost in it. It's just entertaining at the same time. It's that best kind of podcast where somehow you're listening and you're learning, but you're also laughing. Oh, three L's. Nailed it.
Wow. Live, laugh, and love, right?
Yeah. Those things.
My buddy Aaron Tuning. Do you know Aaron Tuning? He's a comedian.
Only by admiration on Twitter. He is so funny.
When he lived in New York a couple of years ago, he put live, laugh, love in like at four different places in his bathroom. And I was like, I've just never up close known a person that had little, tiny, precisely perfect jokes like Aaron does.
Oh,
like his one use of an emoji, his one sentences, his eyes. He truly is the best comedian I know because there's such tiny nuanced brilliance in him.
He is. Yeah. You know how deeply I love comedians, and these people are like, I lose all chill if I met a comedian that I really remind, like I could not. And Aaron's one of those people that every time he does it, what was his tweet? He lived in New York and then he moved back to Atlanta, right? Or Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in Atlanta. Yeah. Oh, I wish he lived in Nashville. No.
Atlanta. Oh, man. Oh, no, he's in Atlanta, but he tweeted like it was something about the reason I don't want to butcher his joke, but he did a single tweet about the reason he moved back was because some kid like threw shade, like gently said, like, nice hat. And that's when I decided to move back to Atlanta. I have read that so many times and laughed. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to close certain loops. So you have.
Okay.
We got to close things and we can keep stuff open for tomorrow, but. So you have settled on a kind of lotion and you're now going to use it on...
Yeah, I'm just really... It's been an experiment I've kept to myself until now. I haven't made that part of my public quarantine stories, but now I'm willing to go public that I have really been enjoying Jergens Glow. This show is not brought to you by Jergens.
Jergens
but
Glow.
But Jergens Glow has really... The light, because I am very pale... Again, string cheese. I am naturally string cheese. But it is a beautiful shade of mozzarella stick right now, and I am so happy.
I have a very personal question.
Let me just check that off my list because I have moved that since Monday.
Yeah.
Every day I've moved it to the next day. So.
Oh, yeah. I have one more question, and then I'm going to be done with this. And it's a very awful question. So now you know that it works. You start using it on just... body parts that people can see? Like, do you use it on your face and your neck and stuff?
No, because arms and face will get plenty of exposure to the sun.
Okay.
And as the summer comes, and I tend to work out in tank tops outside, and so my shoulder, swimsuits, and I use sunscreen, but I do, my arms do change naturally. And actually, fashion tip, Eddie, you actually want your legs to be darker than your arms and your face because the distance between when people are looking at you from a distance, your face, it's fine and better. And like when you get a spray tan, they actually spray tan your legs one shade darker than the rest of you.
Whoa.
Because of the visual trickery. And so it's fine for my legs to be a different shade. It's fine for my legs to be mozzarella sticks while everything else is working its way toward mozzarella stick from string cheese.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I'm just really grateful.
Well, I'm glad we found that out. And yeah. I think I'm fully out of questions.
Aren't you
now.
Glad I moved that from list to list? Wasn't that worth it? Totally, you want to talk about some heroes?
I really do.
Okay. Who's your hero today?
Well, I have been just really struck by and grateful for all of these companies that are retooling their factories. I mentioned it earlier that are retooling their factories to do what we can't do. So I read that like Tesla is using, I think, one of their New York factories to make ventilators because they can. You and I, no matter how hard we try, we can't make a ventilator, but people need that if they have a progressive and really an advanced coronavirus problem. And I just think that it is really cool that factories are seeing that. We've seen it at the very beginning when breweries were, which I learned why they're doing this, by the way, but breweries are using, they started to make hand sanitizer instead of making beer and whiskey and stuff.
My dad just told me this. My dad literally, since we've been recording, texted me. Hold on. Let me tell you literally what he texted me. And I thought, I cannot wait to follow up with whatever he's talking about.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't have hand sanitizer, you may want to check with Bell Mead Distillery in town.
Yes.
Because they're, a lot of distilleries are making and giving it away as promotions.
One, Bell Mead, so good. I mean,
delicious.
So good.
But a national reason treasure.
Well, I was just talking to Brandon Harvey the other day. We were talking.
That was a great episode of New Activist, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But he said that the reason is because they have access to like the really super high proof alcohol that people can't buy. And because they already have like permits to handle that kind of alcohol, they are able to make hand sanitizer. And the government has eased up on restrictions of them pivoting to do that. So it's actually a thing that they can do that others can't. And so there are different factories that are retooling. 3M has, obviously it's not out there yet and people aren't getting the masks, but has doubled production. And so, you know, it's all of those kinds of factors. I think it's just a very heroic thing that these companies are really at their own risk retooling to help us do the things that we can't do. So
I
thought that was awesome.
It feels very World War II, doesn't it? It feels very like...
it does.
Yeah. I wanted to say Rosie the Riveter, but is that the same? Yeah, that's the same war.
It's this idea that we're all banding together doing what we can do. And that's part of... I think that's part of the antidote to hopelessness. Yet at the same time, we won't get rid of that completely, but it's something we can do. And that matters for today.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I got to go doctors and nurses. Can't shake it. I can't shake it.
No need to shake.
And, you know, medical, the people who are the medical, who are the hospital administrators and, you know, just these people. The thing that kind of chaps me a little bit is when we celebrate medical people and people go, well, don't forget this group and don't forget this group and don't forget this group. We're not forgetting any of the other groups, people. I mean, I haven't forgotten the other groups. I'm just saying today, I can't shake that I read a tweet last night from a nurse who worked, you know, 16 hours and saw 4 of her 5 patients die. Like, that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And so doctors, nurses, people in hospitals who are genuinely separating from from their own families, risking their lives, handling themselves in a way that, it's a little bit like I have heard a couple people say, I signed up to be a doctor for days like this. Like, put me in, coach, you know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not exhausting and heartbreaking and too much. Yeah. It's too much. This whole thing is too much.
It is actually too much.
I have counseling today. That's going to work out great, right? That's good. It's a good timing.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes counseling finds us at the right time, doesn't it?
Perfect. Let's talk about IJM's heroes of the day, because I love that this week we've been sharing stories every day from IJM about, which is where you work, International Justice Mission, and their fight to end slavery around the world. And we've heard some of these great stories. I've loved the videos, especially like yesterday, the people who were rescued, the young men and boys who were rescued from slavery. But what we get to do for the back half of this week is I want to shift a little bit and tell you about, and you know this, but they're another set of heroes at IJM truly are the supporters. I mean, people across the country and the world do amazing work to raise money for IJM. Mm-hmm. And this is important to me as we're talking about summer and going swimming. There was this group of kids who decided they wanted to raise money in a really funny way. Oh, yeah. And so they all met up at the swimming pool and they decided to swim laps to raise money. Yeah. And with each lap, more money was raised and they like started cheering each other on and
encouraged
each other, like one more lap for people trapped in slavery.
and they were
hoping to raise $6,000, which is the cost of one rescue operation. They ended up raising $17,000.
I love that. Yeah, there is something to it that's like, I mean, we all need to be helping in any way that we can. And a kid can swim.
Yeah, a kid can swim. Swim in trunks and goggles.
But and more and more, I feel like I'm seeing a little bit like, look to the kids. Look to where, like during this whole thing, there's a lot of perspective to be had in our friends who, you know, they're raising money to end, kids are raising money to end slavery.
Yeah.
They are helping us understand how to walk through a pandemic that like, it's like kids are, there's a ton of hope in our tiny friends and how they process
That's
the world.
Right.
And
I That's right.
love
our
that
mini
these
BFFs,
kids,
as I like to call them. That's right.
I love that these kids went swimming. I also love that somebody's sponsoring them and probably at some point somebody's doing the math and going like, these kids aren't getting tired.
Yeah. That's happened to me before.
Yeah. I'm doing $3
a lap. $5
a lap.
Yeah.
And this kid is just getting going and I was not prepared for this.
Surprised. Yeah. I've been to a swim meet. He was not that good.
Yeah,
and now they've raised 17,000.
Yeah, am I going to help not end slavery? Do I just
that's
not
right.
do this?
Yeah, that's right.
I love that they did that.
So
yeah,
those are my heroes today, is those little $17,000 raising kids. But for all of our friends listening, if you want to be a part of helping end slavery with IJM, there's a special group of supporters that give $24 or more a month, and those are called Freedom Partners.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a massive lasting impact in this work. So to become a Freedom Partner, you go to IJM.org/be a hero and you enter your information. It's quick and simple and it will send help to countless people around the world. So that's one thing we can do today. IJM.org/be a hero.
Yeah. We've been Freedom Partners for a long time, way before I ever worked at IJM. And I just, it's like one of the many little thousands of things that we can do to help things. So we will figure out masks and you will figure out how to help your friends in the hospital. And you know, we can be Freedom Partners. We can do all this stuff. And I'm not trying to put a little,
sorry that our
thing.
Sirius 7 went to Sirius 18, but
I don't know if you're talking to me or to the audience, but I can speak for all of us when I say we're with you.
Yeah. We're all on the same. We're all figuring this out. No one has done this Thursday before. So this does not look like a Thursday we've ever done before. So
Yeah.
We'll do the best we can, and we'll be back at it tomorrow, buddy.
All right. Time to go get some pants on, huh? Let's go put on pants.
That's right. Time to go. What am I going to do?
Lotion the other leg.
Yeah. I got to get my other leg caught up. All right, friends. Have a good day. Stay home. Let's take care of our medical workers. Go wash your hands. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye, friends.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.